Yeah. Welcome to season 5 of Sessions.
Yeah, it goes like this right here.
This is the year.
Like,
we get it.
Niggas always be hollering peace.
Season 1 was fun. Season 2, it was cool.
Every time I try to get a piece
season
of mind.
Season 3 was crazy.
Niggas try to get a piece of mind.
And season 4,
so I gotta grab my piece.
Got us ready.
It's the return of the gangsta. Gangsta.
This is the year we return to high stakes. This is the year we get our own place. This is the year we pay back every motherfucker we owe. This is the year. Poker session 30 of 150. Wrecking Ball. The lead up. Last year heard I lost 5K for the second time in 2 days. So 2 for 2 on stake, losing 5K. 2 for 2 as a host, losing 5K. That is consistency. That's some LeBron shit right there in the opposite direction. It was around 4 p.m. on Tuesday, March 15th, when I folded my flopped set of sixes on the river and picked up. I was not feeling great, obviously. Horrible way to start off the staking thing, mostly. It's probably a good way to start off your hosting is by the first day play, spewy, not great, and run bad. And the second day just run awful the whole time. And it's probably good to start out the way as a host. Who wouldn't want to play with someone who's going to lose $5,000 every single time? But not the best way to start off as a horse. I will win for the backers, but still, you don't want to start off that way. And if you recall, I mushed my girlfriend even, who was playing a tournament in Vegas. I called her, and while I called her, she lost a big pot, and then we talked. She said, okay, I'll call you when I bag up or whatever, and then she called 2 minutes later and said, I just busted. So I mushed her because I'm the fucking worst. And I went to order my stuff from the bar. There's 2 bars. I ordered from the one downstairs, and the waitress that's always working is like, oh, you're going to the booth? That's cool. I said, yeah, it's cool, but I'm kind of in fuck everybody mode. And I was just burnt out. And yeah, I wasn't being crazy. She's like, oh. And I said, yeah, I just got whacked in poker. And I think poker's dumb right now, and I hate everyone who plays poker. But yeah, I'm going in the booth in a half hour. And, sometimes you gotta get that shit out. I vented on her a little bit. Not really. She just laughed, and I'm always chill. Aside from that moment, I went and waited for my salad, grabbed it, and all my caffeine, bunch of Diet Cokes, bunch of sugar-free Red Bulls, and I went up to the booth. And this was the ante game, $5 small blind, $5 big blind, $100 in the middle, and you go. And this is the boys from Palmdale, Nick Fertucci, Ronnie, and others, Barry, and God, Mayhem got overset twice. I think he had a set of kings against aces instead of jacks against aces. And both times he knew it. He's one of the better players that plays in the ante game. I don't know how many people can tell that, but he's a very good player. He, you know, fundamentally and technically, he does some things that are not good, many things, but his reading ability is on point. His acting ability is on point. And he's very social. He does that first and just plays poker while he's being social. Not everyone can do that. He ran death. Ronnie's been running bad. And it was interesting. These guys were talking about the Friday show on the Tuesday show, which is a very big game. And it is. It's 5-5 with $100 ante, but they play big pots. You see 50K pots, and it's a big game. And they were just saying they don't like playing on the Friday show. And I was just thinking, the vibe has that, like, that serious final table vibe. And I know a lot of viewers like it, but I don't think a lot of players like it. And it's just interesting to me, just getting in the streaming game, thinking about all this stuff and thinking about, well, my game is going to be the opposite of that on Wednesdays. People are going to be begging Ryan to play on Wednesdays if I can, you know, have a regular seat in there. It's always going to be fun, and I'm just, it'll never have a bad vibe. I won't let it. You know, this is stuff I'm thinking about while I'm in the booth, watching these guys and also calling the action, also trying to stay away from the table talk or trying to let you, the viewer, just hear it and feel like you're sitting at the table and, you know, just still learning and pounding sugar-free Red Bulls. Just exhausted for a long time now. And anyways, the show ended and I raced back to the Doubletree and I ordered chicken wings and Caesar salad again. The Caesar salad's pretty good at Doubletree at Torrance. The wings, for some reason, are very good. And I don't know, just, you know, potting about it right now. I can't wait. I'll be up there tomorrow. I'm recording this on a Sunday. I'll be up there tomorrow and I'm going to order that shit again when I'm done with my shift. I'm going to do the... I'm going to play for 5 hours and take a break and then commentate for 5 hours and then go check in and order those wings. They're good. Anyways, I just kind of got into real time for a second. But going back to this Tuesday night, after I lost 5K for the second day in a row and commentated, I did race back and had that food that I ordered, the wings and salad. And this night, my Belgian was cold. So Monday night, I brought two Belgians. Because it's hard for me to shut my brain off, even if I'm dead tired. And Monday night, I poured over ice. And Tuesday night, it's been in the little fridge. And it's cold. And that's riveting content. I know it. I know. I feel good about that. I feel like I should win an award for that right there. That telling you the first night, my beer was warm. So I had to pour it over ice. The second night, because it had been refrigerated for a while, it was cold. Where are you at, GPI? I don't think anyone else has that kind of... fucking mind-blowing content. But, and you want some more? I had another bag of corn nuts. So, I had a bag of corn nuts Monday night and one on Tuesday night. And this is the life of a traveling man trying not to have horrible snacks and trying to drop some pounds and whatever. And I watched the show. And I just do that to try and get better at it. And I crashed and I woke up. And on Wednesday... I had a lot of work to do. I woke up early. This was March 16th. I had a lot of correspondence, some writing, a lot of poker rag stuff to do. And I worked just all day until it was time to go. I didn't play on this day. I organized the game for some of the players. But I just worked until it was time to go to the Hustler. And I got my food again, went upstairs and ate it in the booth. And I had, you know... many energy drinks as usual, and this was short deck. And luckily, my co-host on this night, Raver Poker, knows the game pretty well and plays it a decent amount. I have a friend who's really good at it, and he gave me some tips, but you know, unless you play it, you're not going to really incorporate those. And I felt very tired on this night, but also I kind of felt like I unlocked something. I think I'm going to be at my best when I'm just being myself in the booth and not worrying about anything, not thinking about anything, just being spontaneous. And even though I like misread the board one time, just making a joke of it, being self-deprecating, I don't know. I felt like I unlocked something. It'll be nice when I have sleep. It'll be really nice when I'm just like have slept the night before. And when I'm in the booth, but I felt like maybe I got a little bit better on this night. And of course, it's easier when you have a co-host in there. You don't have to follow everything. You're not following the action and the chat, you know, and going back and forth with production. And not that you do that a ton, but you do it occasionally. You press a button to talk to Ryan, and I don't know. So that show ends, and I waited for Ryan to talk to him because I'm gonna debut. In a week from this night, so that'll be the 23rd, and he's on the phone. He's got so much to do, this guy, just like organizing. He's always there, you know, at Hustler working on his baby, and you're seeing the results. It's pretty amazing, and if you watch the Friday show after this, they ran out of players, and he went down there and played. Like, the guy's just committed to this project, and it shows, and... So by the time he was done with whatever he was doing, it was 10:30 and just had a chat. And so it's time to drive down to San Diego and get some sleep, right? No, I got to put in my third session of the week. That's just the deal. I set goals and I guarantee listeners certain things, and I just need to hit those those goals, those deadlines, no matter what. So, yeah, I mean, I'm exhausted and it would be nice. My body probably wants me to get some sleep, but no, I head south towards San Diego, but I stop before I get on the 78 East, before I get on Talladega East. And I get off at Mission Street and I make a right on Brooks and I'm at Ocean's 11 and I park and I go into the bar and I order some food, some healthy-ish food and a Bud Light draft. They have the best Bud Light draft anywhere and it tasted so good on this night. And but the bar is bright and had horrible music. I forgot what it was. It was something fucking awful. No offense to, I think it might have been like Never Getting Back Together, that song. Like, it's the worst when you're tired. Never, ever, ever, that song. I don't know who that is. It's bad. Maybe it's a great song, but it's horrible to hear when you're tired and you're trying to enjoy a beer. So, and there's a little fridge they have where they keep the glasses cold, and it hisses, like nonstop hisses, which they should probably fucking fix that. Because, you know, pretty big casino makes a lot of money. Anyways, I say, can you, A, turn the lights down? You gotta make it, these sensitive eyes that don't sleep, they can't handle the shit. Can you turn that down and can you put on some better music and some hip hop? And she puts on some mumble rap. I think it was just all designer. I think that's who it was. And I liked it a lot. And I basically turned that place into a club. And so I don't want to hear that hissing fridge. I don't want to hear Never, Ever, Ever Getting Back Together. Like, okay, are you fucking 5 years old? I don't know who that is. My apologies to whoever it is. But that song was ringing in my head. It was just rattling my brain on this night. And it was nice to, you know, turn the place into a club, make it a lot more chill. Everyone likes it when I do this. There's only like, you know, two off-duty dealers and one off-duty security guard, and they're eating at the bar most nights. So it's not like, you know, and I'm the one that's going to drink in there. And they like it when I change it into a club. And then Lady Gaga comes on somehow. I don't know. It was nice for a while. I don't hate Lady Gaga. Hopefully she doesn't sing Never, Ever, Ever. If she does, no, she can't, it can't be her. But anyways, when she comes on, okay, it's time to go play poker. Right, I've had 3 Bud Lights, I had a meal, and the floor man comes in and says, are you going to play poker? And this is a floor man I go way back with, and I have had a good rapport with. I think I've even been to his house, and way back in the day, in the blurry days. And then I had a blow up with him recently when I was trying to play some kid heads up, while also having chips at the regular No Limit game. I tried to play the bigger PLO game went on break, and there was one kid there that was pretty funny, and I call him NFT Boy, and you're going to hear more about him. And he was sitting there while all the other guys were going to whatever they do on break, smoke cigs, who knows. They look kind of healthy. Maybe they go fucking eat hummus or something. I don't know, but I wanted to play him heads up, and I had more money in my pocket, and I just left my chips on the other table, and there's no list. I thought it was fine, and instead of him telling me it wasn't fine, he kind of went off on me, and I went off on him. But the way it goes in the poker world is you will go off on someone, you will get into someone, and then later you'll be fine with them. It's happened to me at the Bellagio with the Crustiest and Eli. I've got into both of them, and now, you know, I'll just, hey, what's up, you know, and like, it's just how it goes. Well, now we're good, me and this floor man, and he says, you gonna play some poker tonight or what? And I said, yeah, put me on the board as Lady Gaga. So I want them to know Lady Gaga's coming down from the bar to play some No Limit Hold'em. And he says, well, I got a seat for you right now, Lady Gaga, in the 2-3 No Limit, and you'll be first up for the 2-5. So I'm gonna take a sip of this water, and we'll walk down from the bar at Ocean's 11 down to the 2-3 game, and we'll start the session. At 12:30 a.m. on Thursday, March 17th, 2022, I sat down in a 2-3 no limit game at Ocean's 11, and I bought in for the max, $400, because I'm fucking big time. And on my left is a gentleman that I saw in the bathroom when I got there, and I was a little alerted by his bizarre behavior. He is helping someone who's in a wheelchair. And The guy in the wheelchair is actually sitting behind him, so he's the caretaker. Usually, the guy in the wheelchair will be playing, and the caretaker will be sitting behind. This is the caretaker sitting in the game, guy in the wheelchair, the older guy in the wheelchair is behind, and the caretaker is wearing goggles. And I'm not talking about Kareem Abdul-Jabbar goggles, if you know who that is. I'm talking about Michael Phelps goggles. He's wearing Speedo goggles at the poker table. And no one has ever smelled more like weed. And he's just erratic and on my left. And I don't think I've ever seen someone wear fucking Speedo goggles at the table. But, you know, it's not a big deal in a poker room. It's all a bunch of misfits anyways. So the interesting thing here, because I'm a writer at my core, I play poker, you know, because I got to play poker, but I used to love it. I don't really love it anymore, but I'm more about the story. Well, the interesting thing is, with this guy on my direct left, the youngish, you know, he's not that young, but he's younger than the older guy in the wheelchair. He's the caretaker wearing goggles. Well, I'm in the one seat, he's in the two, and the dealer's on my right, and then in the seat to their right is a gentleman who was a caretaker for a legendary guy who used to be in a wheelchair and play in the games. And this was a legend at Ocean's 11. And I won a lot of money from him. And this is his son who was the caretaker. And now I believe his dad has passed on. And now the son's the one in there playing poker and drinking. He brings in his pit bull. He's a really nice guy. It's kind of weird. It's kind of full circle in a weird way. And now NFT boy walks by, and that's the guy that originally I said something in a hand against him. He bet like very capped in a multi-way pot. He like checked back the flop in position, then bet the turn when like the top card paired, and you're always capped there. And I like the bluff. I also had pocket deuces, and I figured if he could call my check raise, he'd be on a draw, and if not, I could fold out, you know, better and actually get called by worse, one of those merge spots. And he started talking to me, so I thought he's folding, and I talked about, and then he called, and I just gave up, and he won with whatever the top of his range was, some capped hand that was better than pocket deuces. And then the next hand, I was typing this shit in my phone, in my notes. That's what I do. That's how I have this podcast. And he said, "Are you vlogging or filming or something?" And it tilted me because I'm a grizzled fucking vet, and he's a young guy, and he's just a funny dude, and he's action, and he talks about NFTs and whatever else. And so I called him NFT boy. I've gotten to know him, and that's the guy I went to play heads up with that one night. And then he was playing 5-10 with me late night, and so now we're kind of like buddies. I never really got into it with him. But we didn't like hit it off, but it was just kind of buddies, you know. It's like, well, you're kindred spirit, I'm kindred spirit, we're misfits. I mean, if you're at a casino after midnight, you're a fucking misfit. Just face it, embrace it, and don't replace it. Okay. Anyways, he walks by and says, "Hey, everything okay?" Because I'm sitting in the 2-3 game, and I'm like, "Yeah, everything's fine." And people limp to me. I have Jack 8 offsuit and I fold. I have better hand selection in games where the rake is too high. I do. Like, I just won't even get in there with anything because I know most of the pot's going down the rake hole and I get called for 2-5. So I hope you guys enjoyed that little review of my 2-3 session. I didn't get called yet. Fuck, I left out very crucial hand history. Someone straddled, so I will play a pot. I will open. I opened 6-5 of spades, and I got four callers, and I flopped nothing. Okay, so that was the 2-3 portion. And I know GPI Awards is fucking, they're drooling at that shit. I folded Jack 8 offsuit, and I opened 6-5 of spades, and I flopped nothing and folded. Fuck, man. Doesn't get much better than that. Okay, I get called for the 2-5. And I'm going to buy in for $1,000. That's the buy-in until I convert the game, which I'm going to do. I'm going to get the straddle on smooth. Like, I'm not going to force it. I'm not going to be annoying about it. But it's going to happen. I'm going to provide action. I'm going to be funny. And you're going to want to straddle to keep my action and keep me being an idiot. And then once it's on, we don't want anyone else, an outsider, coming and ruining it. So we make it official, and then you can buy them for $2,500. It's $2,500, and you can straddle for $20. So anyways, it's only $2,500. And I open Jack 10 of spades, right? It's a nice looking hand. Well, on my left is NFT boy, and he 3-bets. And he 3-bets most hands. And then pocket chips, another kind of young pro, you know, 30-ish pro that I got along with, and he keeps chips in his pocket. And one night I was spewing pretty hard, and he kept having to give me chips and said, "Are you sure you don't want to get more? You want to have some pocket chips?" So we'll call him pocket chips. He 4-bets from the small blind. So I'm folding my Jack 10 of spades. My boy, NFT boy, calls. It comes king high, and they get it all in. And pocket chips had ace king, you know, grinder status. And NFT boy had king six. And he just said, I have a king, but bad kicker. And everyone at the table is rooting for a bad card on the river. It was a six. He won. We were all happy. Just, you know, you always root for the guy gambling. And that's NFT boy. And then I open, you know, I fold for a while. I open ace seven offsuit and a straddler. And, you know, the whole world calls. And you don't need to be opening ace seven offsuit, except I can't have a podcast about poker hands and not play any of them. And I only have 5 hours, and I don't trust these dealers, so I'm gonna open A7 offsuit sometimes. And it comes 10-7-3. There's $200 in the pot. So I opened a 30 and whatever. Six people call, and they took some for the rake. And now the Heineken bluffer leads 60 into 200 on 10-7-3. And I'll tell you why he's the Heineken bluffer soon. I'll describe him now. He's probably in his 70s. He's there late night, and he's fucking funny, and he has all the chips. And I'll tell you why he's the Heineken bluffer later. He leads 60 into 200 on 10-7-3. I don't believe he should be able to win this pot. It's, you know, it's dicey doing that. I just call because I don't know what kind of madness there is behind me. Luckily, everyone else behind me folds. You know, there wasn't the whole field behind me, but, you know, NFT boy probably was. And so it's heads up. And now the turn is a three. So 10-7-3-3. And he leads 60 again. And this is one of those, another one of those spots where if I raise here, he can't call with a 10. Only thing he can call with is a draw. And he leads 60. I go to 230, and he calls quick. So he probably just has 8-9, and the river's a jack, and he goes all in. So I'm almost positive he had 8-9. And I wrote, I will never win a hand. And I've been playing for 30 minutes, and I'm stuck, whatever. Go back to the bar. And because I'm starting to tilt, it's the two prior sessions were awful, right? And then I did win at Resorts World the session before that, but I got whacked the session before that. And, like, it's just been going bad lately. And when you start to feel that tilt, like, I'm going to do something stupid or be an asshole, you go to the bar. Well, I can't do this when I'm hosting. I have to man up, and that's probably good. But anyways, I'm not hosting Ocean's 11, so I go back to the bar. And it's a remix of Many Men by 50 Cent, and I like it. And then some guy comes in who just doubled up in some game out there, and is too loud telling the bartender about it. And it's rattling my brain, just like that song. Never, ever, ever was this guy telling her about how he doubled up. It's rattling my brain. And then I wrote, people kind of lame. Alcohol, the only way I can stay. So tired. I am sensitive to light, noise, and I guess I'm just aware, usually. Like, I wouldn't be overly loud in any situation. And I don't know. I guess that's just because of whatever, my temperament. But it's true, man. Like, there's a reason drinkers fucking drink. Sometimes people drink to forget. Sure, right? You drink to cover up trauma when it, you know, comes to you at the, you know, when you start, like, feeling bad at the end of the night or after work or whatever. A lot of times I drink to just numb myself to how fucking loud it is, how bright it is, and how uninteresting some of the conversation in the poker world is. And it's only super interesting to me because I've heard it a trillion times. So, yeah. All right, so I go back to the game. Have a Bud Light, drink that thing quick, go back to the game, and I fold until my straddle, and I straddle, and it's raised and re-raised and re-raised in front of me. Okay, let's look down at what we got. We have seven deuce offsuit. Okay. And then I fold for a while, and I get dealt no playable hands. That's fun. That's good. If you have a poker podcast with hand histories, if you don't ever, I mean, I guess the A7 offsuit was kind of cool. I was able to get all the money in, and yeah, he was open-ended, and he could technically catch an 8 or a 9 to beat me, but I don't think he could call if an 8 or a 9 comes. So that hand was kind of cool, I guess. But I just don't get any playable, so I go back to the bar, and it's last call. And I said, does anyone want anything? And the older guy, the Heineken bluffer, says he wanted a drink at the table. I said, man, you got a drink at the bar, but I will buy you one. What do you want? He said, a Heineken, right? And I'm thinking, those of you who know who Young Man is, a legend in the Los Angeles poker world and beyond, Vegas, Texas probably, he's Young Man. And when he would love to play when I'd been on a bender. He didn't always love to play when my eyes were in the front of my head, but he'd love to play when I was on a bender and I would always make him get a drink and he'd always order a Heineken Young Man. And so I used to buy Young Man Heineken and now I'm buying this old man Heineken. And that's the story of my career. And then I went in the bar and I ordered that Heineken. And I just write in my phone, you know, there's no one really in there. But it's nice and relaxing because I got it dark and until the security guards turn the lights on to be assholes. And I wrote, I feel like Tuesday Tom. And Tuesday Tom is just some fucking guy who jumped on the stream on a Tuesday when I was working for, I think, 2 hours. And he didn't win one hand. And the chat was, you know, the thing was, is he going to win any hands? And he didn't win one hand. And that's how I feel. And I feel, you know, I also put, no guys ever have game. And so someone was, oh, there was an off-duty dealer, blackjack maybe, eating. And some drunk guy was trying to, like, have game with her. And you just see this a lot. Maybe this is just an age thing. That, I mean, this guy, you know, these guys are just a little bit younger, but they have no game. I'm out of the game of having game. But you can still, like, you know, you can still be like, damn, these kids got no game these days. And I do notice that a lot. Maybe that's always been the case in the poker world. I don't know. I wrote, I always thought I was good looking. I always thought that's why girls were interested in me. No, it's just because I was chill. I wasn't a fucking spaz. I don't know. This is the shit I'm writing on my phone. I'm tired, but I got to put this session in. And this old guy at my table never came in for his Heineken. Fuck my life. And the triathlete pro was at my table, and I said, tell that old motherfucker to come get his Heineken. He said, he's enjoying spaghetti and meatballs right now. He's not coming for his Heineken. This is real life, man. This, you want to be a live pro? You better get ready for the bizarre fucking shit. And it's very little about, do you know how to play poker well? It's, can you handle the madness and run hot in the right spots and not lose your fucking mind? That's basically it. And so I'm like, he's eating spaghetti. He's like, yeah. And he just texts me back. It looks like he's really enjoying it. So the guy never came for his Heineken. So he's a Heineken bluffer. And yeah, it's a bartender took it off my bill, though, at least. And I get back to the table. No more drinking on this night. And I run into it. And then I have queen four in a limper. And, you know, I'm the 10. And it comes jack 7-3. That's not very good for queen 4. And someone bets. I'm on fold, and I think, no, man, like, that person's weak. I just pop it. You don't have queen 4. It's jack 7-3. They bet. Okay, I don't. You can get in this mode where you've been running bad, where I'm not going to bluff with no equity. And then you say, fuck yeah, I'm going to bluff with no equity. That's what I do. That's why my kids have such comfortable lives. And so I popped it, and I won one. And I wrote confetti. So in my mind, confetti fell from the ceiling. And we were doing a lot of nuke talk on this night, talking about Putin and, you know, World War III and nuclear war. But the thing about it is, if you get past midnight at a poker table, all these serious topics become just ridiculous. It brought me back to the beginning of Corona when the last night before Ocean's 11 closed down for Corona, I was in there and we're all joking about Corona, not knowing if we're going to like, you know, take a breath of air and die 5 seconds later. We didn't know anything about it, but you just get really goofy about it. And we were doing that with the nukes. And I'm saying like, guys, normally I wouldn't ask everyone to straddle, but we're about to be vaporized by Putin anyways. Do you think we can at least straddle on our way out? And, you know, people are, you know, yeah, we are going to get nuked. Okay, we make it official, 2-5-10. Boom. Now it's the minimum buy-in, I think, is 800 and the maximum is 2,500. And I'm going to add it on. I got enough income. I got enough streams of income that I'm going to gamble. Well, this one's actually on my roll. I mean, on my stake. So I have enough money to buy in. It would make no sense for me to play on stake with, you know, with 100 big blinds or less when I could have more. And that's where my edge comes in. So I add it on. And then I make second pair twice and I'm almost even. And it's all about the nuke. We're just talking about nukes and every joke is about the nuke. And I'll belabor any joke. And I think that's good. It's so dumb. It's good sometimes. And just like that, getting the game bigger, I had second pair twice and I got almost even. And then it's time for my best play. Okay, so I'm the 10, and NFT Boy is the 20, and Pocket Chips, just like solid young pro, like he limps, and they all limp, and he limps first to act, so I kind of feel like that's protection, and I call 10 more with, I'm going to leave it blank, I'm not going to tell you what it is, I call 10 more dollars, and NFT Boy checks, so we got a multi-way limper for 20. And so this game was 2-5, and now it's basically 2-5, 10-20. And that's the real skill of live poker is you take a game that's barely beatable for peanuts, and you make it to where the break doesn't mean shit, and you can actually win a few thousand dollars. Anyways, I put 10 more in with Mystery Hand, and the flop comes 6-3 with two diamonds. 6-3, two diamonds. I check. NFT Boy bets 50, which is small for this pot. And now Pocket Chips quickly goes to 250 or somewhere around there. 250, I think. And I see it. I'm watching it. And it's something strong. And I'm thinking, this is going to fold back to me. And I want to continue with my hand. It's a mystery hand. I put $10 more in multi-way. I felt like I was protected from a squeeze. I mean, not always with NFT Boy and the 20, but I felt like I was. And it came 6-3 with two diamonds, and I want to continue against this bet and raise, and I'm trying to range my opponent, meaning Pocket Chips. What did he limp first to act with, and he's raising to 250 on 6-3, two diamonds. Sure, he has a set here, of course. Would he play an overpair like this? Would he play fucking pocket queens like this, pocket kings? I don't know. But I'm not ready to fold. I call. And so it's just him and I. Right? So we got like maybe $600 in the pot. Or, yeah, a little more. And actually, we have about $800 because there was, yeah, I guess there was other, well, the NFT Boy bet 50 and there's all the limps pre. And so the turn is a break. It's a black queen. So 6-3, two diamonds. And turn black queen. I check and he bets $700. And he has 2,300 behind. So it's a tough spot for me, maybe. I don't know. I don't really know what his limp first act is. And then raise 6-3, two diamonds. And then bet like about pot on the black queen. And he has 2,300 behind. And I decide to jam. I say all in. And he snap calls and turns over fucking 5-4 of hearts. And he says, he turns it over. You know, he's trying to be a cordial pro, which you should do. Someone goes all in, you have the nuts, and it's going to be a 7K pot. You turn over your nuts, and he says twice. And I say, I just hold up one finger. And I say, dealer, diamond. And the river is not a diamond. And I say, how much, man? Because he has about 3,000, you know, that went in. And I have him covered. I say, how much? And he starts counting. And when he's looking down and counting, I slowly turn over 5-4 myself. So I chopped with him. And it doesn't It was my best play just because my table talk was on point. I was thinking quickly to slow roll him in a chop situation, and the table really enjoyed it, and he was like, oh, you motherfucker. And it was good. It was just really good. I love slow rolling. I don't know. It's like, you know, it would have been nice if he had something different, but yeah, he had the joint, I had the joint, and it was my best play just because I saw his hand, and I just said one time, and I begged for a diamond, like I have diamonds, which everyone in there thinks I could have, and then I ask him to count, and he starts counting, and I just slow, like everyone's looking at his 3,000, they're thinking, God, this guy's getting 3,000 right now, and I just turn over my hand and wait for everyone to figure it out, and people liked it, yeah, so sometimes your best play is just being a fucking idiot slow roller. And I was really proud of my idiot slow roll. And yeah. And really, I just like when my mind works quickly. And it doesn't always these days on this grind. So far into this grind, it's you know, you have to recharge your battery sometimes. I haven't recharged my battery in fucking years. So yeah. Anyways. I play a nice one against NFT boy. I have ace king of diamonds and I open, he three bets and I four bet to 550 preflop ace king of diamonds. He calls and there's going to be over 1100 in the pot. And I believe he has about 800 or 900 left. I think he has 900 left and I have ace king of diamonds, comes jack 7-6 with two hearts. And I check it here. I just, I'm calling if he stuffs because it's smaller than pot, and I just don't care at this point. Once we put in 550 pre, and he checks back, and the turn's a five, and now I jam because I feel like I have the best hand, but I have no heart, and like, you know, it's jack, 7-6, 5-3 hearts, and I have ace, king of diamonds. You know, normal run out for a grizzled vet, and he folds and says, show it, and I showed my hand, and this is NFT boy. He's got a lot of heart. I felt like he would call me with any pair. I wasn't bluffing. I was trying to induce an all-in when I thought he would have a worse ace than me. On jack 7-6 two hearts with ace king of diamonds, I was going to check snap, and then the turns of five of hearts, I can no longer give free cards. And I jammed. I don't know. It was nice to win 550. And yeah, he has 900 left. And I just open jacks the next hand in a 2-5-10 hand to 30, and he crams in about, you know, 900, and he gets back, I'm snapping it off, I have jacks, I'm just snapping, and he's like, you're good, and it's not a great run out for jacks, but my hand is good, and he gets up and says, did I punt enough to you? And I said, what? And he says, can I play on stream now? And I said, let me count. Yeah, you did. I'll talk to Ryan. So I don't control who plays on stream or not, but I can definitely tell Ryan Feldman when we got someone who's a lot of action and funny and talk, you know, and that's my man, NFT boy. And I said, yep, make sure you text me and I'll text Ryan. And so, yeah, by the time this drops, this should drop on the 25th, I believe. And this guy's supposed to play with me on the 23rd. He's pretty awesome, NFT boy. And so it's nice. I needed that one. Then I flopped two pair and I lose to runner, runner straight. And I wrote the F word. I'm not proud of it. And then I pocket nines and I lost a jack four. So the action was good on this night. And I wrote the F word again. And then here's my worst play with a save. I open queen, deuce of spades in the blinds. 2-5-10. I open to 40. And on my left, as always, is pocket chips. He's always on my left. He goes to 120. He three bets at a very high frequency. And I just, you know, take it personally because I'm a grizzled old vet. We don't fold a fucking three bet. You think I'm going to fold to a fucking three bet? You're insane. But if we have queen deuce, we don't want to be calling. So I four bet to 400. And he called. And I think he is going to three bet and fold a good amount. I've seen him do it to others, maybe not to me, but his frequency is so high of three bet that I don't know. So it's not good. I should probably open this hand and fold to the three bet. I'm never going to do that. And I could call, I don't know. I went for the four bet and anyways, he called. None of this is good yet. That's why it's my worst play. The flop comes 6-5-4 with a spade. Well, there's a little gut shot for us with Queen Deuce of Spades. A three comes, he's not going to see it coming. And I don't have to, I don't think this flop hits him very well. And it's funny, it's the odd time where the guy who four bet has the range advantage because he's a fucking degenerate, grizzled vet. And that's me, in case you were confused. And so I bet 410. I think he's going to fold all his non-pairs here because this does actually favor me. I'm a lag, like a real one, a true one. Street poker is my thing. And so I think he's going to fold like his ace jacks, ace queens, ace king, all that, you know, king queens. He's going to fold that. Well, he doesn't. He calls. Okay, the turn's a six. Not a great card for bluffing at all. And so I have to check, and he checks. And the river is a queen. Good job, dealer. You just gave me queens and sixes. I bet 640 into a pretty big pot, right? It's like over 1,600. I bet 640. I want to get paid by, you know, jacks, tens, nines, pretty much that. And that's the bulk of his range anyways. And he, you know, postures for about 3 seconds and says, all in. And God damn it, this guy. And it's 2,100 more. Or, sorry, 2,100 total at this point. And I start thinking about this hand. What's he repping right now? So I opened in the blinds to 40. And he 3-bet to 120 as the 10. And I went to 400 and he called. And it came 654 and I bet 410 and he called. And the turn's a six, I checked and he checked. And there was a queen, I bet 640 and he went all in. What is he repping? That's a question for the listener. What's he repping? Let's see what you can come up with. Just one more recap. I open, it's 2-5-10. I open to 40 and he's in the 10 and he goes to 120. He's wide here, right? But usually good hands. I go to 400 and he calls. Okay, he has a good hand. And 6-5-4, rainbow, I bet 410 he calls. Six, I check, he checks back. River queen, I make queens and sixes. I bet 640. He goes all in for 2,100. And I'm in the tank. And did he flop a set? Nope. He did not flop a set. Does he have a six? Nah, he doesn't have a six. Does he have a straight? Fuck no, he doesn't have a straight. Does he have aces or kings? Uh-uh. Ace queen? Fuck no. He either has the case, pocket queens, or he's turning something into a bluff here. And when you can just give someone exactly one combo of value and the rest, that's it. He only has one combo of value. The pocket queens that weren't the queen on the river or the queen of spades, the one I had in my hand. And when you can only give him one combo for value, you should typically call. But then if you also think this guy is not fucking bluffing here, well, then you got to say he has that one combo. And I folded and he had pocket queens. He showed a queen and confirmed that he had pocket queens. And awesome wreck was in my game. And he said, I had a queen. He's trying to lie and needle me. And he's lucky he's an awesome wreck. Anyone else, I would fucking, they would hear from me. Because, you know, I'm poor. I'm on a downswing. I don't know. I don't want to hear that shit. Don't bullshit me like that. But it was awesome wreck. So I said, oh, okay. And then pocket chips confirmed that he had pocket queens. It's a fucking good fold. It's horrible. Everything up to that point's pretty spewy. I'll say it's spewy if not horrible. Opening the queen deuce suited, you know, whatever. And facing a three bet, you should probably just fold, maybe call. Four bets, real spewy. I did it. Betting the flop is bad. That was the worst part about it. I should be just checking there and maybe raising. And the turn's good, and the river is really good. The value bet's good, and the fold is good. So it was my worst play with a save. And I started stealing a bunch, and then I have pocket nines, and I squeeze to a big amount, and the Heineken bluffer calls me. He's had a lot of chips. They're starting to go towards the other players. He just is almost drawing dead to leave here with Chips if he stays here for a while. He just plays straightforward. He plays like, you know, when during the boom. And he calls, and it comes King XX, and he has King 10, and he wins. So you're just going to lose when you make it a bunch. King 9's come. You're going to definitely bet once, at least. And just going to lose some. And then I flop a flush draw and a three-way bloater, and I flop. Wait. I was testing you, Connie. I flopped a flush draw and a three-way bloater, and the turning river came. Nothing right. Yeah. Thank you, Kanye. Sorry about that. I said I flopped the flush draw and then the flop came. That was... Sound guy put the notes together for this hand history. Yeah, he has been. I don't know. I'm not going to fire him, man. I should? I don't know. We'll talk about it after this. So then I made a flush and I won jack shit. Okay. And then at ace queen, I lost to queen jack. Always fun. Then I missed versus the Heineken bluffer. He's going to be sticky with certain hands. This is like the ideal guy to play against. If he's too deep now because the game's changed and, you know, he had all the chips before and now I have, you know, I can buy him for 2,500 and he's, you know, it's going to be hard to get him to fold top pair. You don't want to go down that road, but you can get him to fold all the other pairs. And anyways, I missed versus him when I thought he had a good hand. And okay. And then another hand that maybe this was actually my worst play. I opened ace six of diamonds and same situation. Except it was bigger. It must have been 2, 5, 10, 20. And pocket chips went to 260 in position here. So how the fuck did that work? Maybe it was 2, 5, 10, 20 and someone limped and I went to 70. I don't know. He went to 260, did pocket chips. And I knew, I just had that twinge. I knew he was weak and I had ace six of diamonds and I just called. It's just bad. I just knew he was weak, and I knew I should, you know, re-raise. I should put in more money. I just called. And, of course, if I flop something, you'd say, like, well, I'm glad I just called. But I'm not going to flop anything. It came jack, seven, deuce, all black. And I checked, and he checked. And, oh, I guess he was out of position. That's why it was so big. And then the turn was a king, and he bet, and I folded, and he showed a four of hearts. And I said, I know you have ace, four of hearts, which is a light three bet for him. Oh, no, it wasn't great. But then I started running over the game, just squeezing always, just building these pots, and people stopped having all-ins, and that's a good situation for a lag at fucking 3 a.m. in a shorthanded game that's kicked up. That's how you make money in this game. But I also had this weird feeling that I was going to get fucked, this curse feeling from running bad for, you know, a week or whatever, which is... It's just a story. It's fucking real. It's a feeling that I get. And I decided to power through it. Just keep playing. This game's too good. It's 2, 5, 10, 20 often, and it's shorthanded. And it's just, you do have the one pro on your left, but, like, you got this awesome wreck from, like, Laguna Niguel, and you got the Heineken Bluffer, and, like, it's just, you can't leave, even if you feel like you're going to lose. If you have that sense of doom. And what? Oh, I raise with 10-7 offsuit. Shorthanded, multiple blinds. I'm going to be in there. And everyone called, and the Heineken Bluffer led on 5-3-3 with two clubs. I didn't have a club. So I decided to 3x raise because you can get to a point where it doesn't matter if no one believes me. How are you going to call with a five or a hand like pocket sixes or eights or whatever when this guy leads on 5-3-3, two clubs, and I raise 3x? It's going to be hard. Anyways, only Heineken Bluffer called. And 5-3-3, two clubs. And the turn was a nine, and he checked. And he kind of looked up at me and checked. He wanted me to check. I bet two times the pot, and he, you know, thought and folded. And I thought he had a five, and he folded, and I showed. And I don't know why I showed, because I wanted to. Sometimes I show. Usually I don't. I don't know. And then I get king, queen, and... it's queen high, and he bets the flop, and, you know, he's steamed up. He's not folding now, and I just want to see a good card. And you kind of can, you just, the turn he's going to bet, and you're going to know exactly what he has based on the sizing and whatnot. Well, the turn's a little bit bigger. And so I just called down, and he had queen eight, and I had king queen. It came queen high, and the turn was an eight. So he won a nice pot, and good for him. But I just knew I had him outkicked, and it got a little dicey, so I never raised. But I did call the turn and river, whatever they were. And then I trapped with deuce three offsuit. And that just means I checked my option. And, you know, I had the 20 out there. And it came, and it's just multi-way, just a bunch of degenerates, really. An older guy, some guy who's rich, who lives in, like, Laguna Niguel, you know, this fucking pocket chips pro. And I forgot who else was in the game. Oh, this kid who had just gotten out of prison was really cool. He was in the game. And this other guy who came over from the 2-3, they said, oh, I don't have the min-buy. I said, I don't care. You can buy him for whatever. Fuck a min-buy. And min-buys are stupid. And anyways, you know, at 3 a.m., if you have enough for fucking, you know, if you have 10 big blinds, you can play in my game. And anyways, I trapped with the deuce three offsuit. I just checked, and it came 6-6 deuce. And I led, and, you know, sixes and deuces. I rated the best hand. No one's going to exploit me here. And Heineken Bluffer calls me, okay? And the turn is a deuce. 6-6, deuce, deuce. I check, and he bet. And I don't believe him. I call. 6-6, deuce, deuce. And there's two hearts now on the turn. And the river is a heart. And so backdoor flush got there. I decide to lead, to just block bet, if you will. I'm not really block betting. I'm just trying to get value. And I don't think, I want him to call me with high card. I lead, and the pot's pretty decent size. And he raises me, and I don't believe this at all. And I call, and he rivered a flush. So he just got, like, overvalued a flush. And it was a nice pot for me with deuce three off three on 6-6 deuce. I led, he called with overcards. Turn deuce, I checked. He picked up a flush draw and bet on 6-6 deuce deuce. I called. The river hit the flush. I bet small for value. I didn't think he would keep bluffing. He probably wouldn't have. I thought he would call with ace high or big card high. And he made a flush and raised it. I don't know if he didn't see what was going on the board. And I called, and I won a nice pot. And that serves him right for never coming to the bar for his Heineken that I bought for him. Anyways, it was time to go. I played 5 hours, and I won about 10% of what I was in makeup for. So it's nice to get your first win on stake. I'm in makeup, whatever. I needed content, and I don't know. I call it wrecking ball because I have, you know how you hit the wall in life? Like, I got nothing left. Well, I fucking have hit that wall and gone through it to the next wall so much in the last several years. And on this night, I'm thinking, why am I really going to go tired as fuck driving down after I lost 5K? And then this was Wednesday. So yeah, I didn't actually lose 5K, but I worked all day, and then I commentated, and then I drive down. And am I really going to stop at Ocean for a session? Yeah, I'll fucking just go through this wall too. And I do that a lot when I'm recording, like, man, I don't have it in me. Well, you got to get it done right now. And like right now I'm potting in the fucking dark. I just was working and started potting when it was still light. And I like that shit. When you just keep going through walls. Oh, I hit the wall. Fucking go through it. I don't know. So anyways, let's do the countdown to 2023 scoreboard check after week 10. Holy shit. There's only 50 weeks. We're 20% of the way through our journey this year already? That seems pretty crazy to me. But let's see. If we get to 2023 points by the cutoff, which is, I think, December 20th this year. It's circled on my calendar. There'll be a season 6 of sessions, and hopefully it'll be all high stakes and all streamed games. And but if we don't get the 2023 points, we won't, because you got to set goals, and you got to hold yourself accountable, and you got to justify your work and all that shit. So I played 15 hours this week. So on the hours line, I have 147 of 150 total. Or sorry, 150 is the pace, right? You want to play 15 hours a week, 10 weeks, 150, basic. I'm 3 behind pace. Who cares? I want to play 750 this year. It's ambitious. for me, you know, having fucking 11 different jobs and being a single dad, there's a lot that goes into being a single dad, and, you know, in groceries and cleaning and all this shit. Not saying that that's always the mom's job, but you know what I mean? I'm not being a fucking asshole. I'm saying shit that if you've always been the provider, which some people are saying, shut up. Okay. I'm just imagining people saying, shut up. But I'm saying there's a lot that goes into being a single dad in addition to having all these jobs. So 750 hours is ambitious, and we're only three away, off pace. Okay. The wins line, you get 5 points for a win, minus five for a loss. The goal is to win 2 out of 3 sessions a week. I think I can do it. If I didn't have other jobs, I could win 3 out of 4, I think. I think I could. I did for a long time in my career. But anyways, 2 out of 3 is the goal. And I got 2 losses and 1 win. So that's minus 5 on this. And now we have 50 points and the pace is 50. So we're right on pace. Want to get to 250 points. Want to win 2 out of 3 on average all year long? Well, we have 20 wins and 10 losses. There you have it. Okay. Now let's talk about patrons. These are people who sign up at patreon.com/DGAFPokerPlayer. And when they do, they get their own custom RSS feed to all my content, 840 drops or whatever it is at this point. My other podcast, Mental Health Podcast, really spewy podcast, some great moments in it, some great information in it. And then the whole story of sessions, 5 seasons of it and a lot of lows and some highs and beautiful moments with people I love and sad moments and, you know, that shit, life story shit. Well, when you sign up, you get an RSS feed to all of it. And then there's different tiers and you get more, you get social media, you get poker, you get sports, but you get all this shit. But anyways, someone signed up under the screen name Retired. And this is a famous Hawaiian Gardens poker player because they reached out to me and said, I'm retired now. I signed up as retired. And they said they're digging the story. And thank you, retired. That's 4 points on the board. Every time I get a patron, 4 points. Every time I lose one, minus 4. Brent signed up. Thank you, Brent. 4 points. And then someone that was at $10 a month deleted and said financial reasons. Okay, minus 4 points and minus $10 from my monthly salary. And then ICM Suicide Bomber and Jordan signed up. 8 more points. Thank you, ICM Suicide Bomber and Jordan. And that's cool. Good. Looks like a good week. And then the Tan Bull gave me a raise. Went from tier 1 to tier 2, up to 844. You still get that RSS feed. So the first tier, you get the RSS feed with all the spew, and you get a forum. And it's exactly like 2 plus 2, but no fucking trolls, nits, whatever you want to call them. And then at 844, you get Slack, which is social media, and it's a lot of, oh, I'm going to go here. Anyone want to meet up here? Yeah, I'll go over there. You know, people are going to the Hustler. People are doing shit in Vegas. They're having a big dinner. That's what Slack is for. It's also like share pictures of your kids, what cigar you're smoking, what car you're driving, what you're drinking, what are you watching right now? Just kind of quick hitter stuff. And that's where, that's tier 2. The Tan Bull gave me a raise and went to that one. And so hopefully he or she joins on Slack. I think it's a he. I think I've seen his profile. But CH Pap and River Mandate and Nika signed up. That's 3 more patrons, 12 more points on the fucking board. Thank you. And then somebody fixed their decline card. So we netted 7 patrons this week. That's strong. 4 points for each. That's 28 points. The pace right now is 120 for patrons. We're at 204. Pretty strong. Poker Eggs has not been strong this year. It's doing well as a company. It's going through some transition. I haven't sold shit this year. And here's who ordered off my page. You just go to pokereggs.us, click on Team Poker Eggs, and you click on DGAF. And there are, I think, like 15 designs you can choose from and endless products. And I sold 1 item this week, a patron in Leander, Texas, that goes by ATM. Bought something. So I got 1 point, and thank you, ATM. And we're at 27 points in the year. Pace is 85. At some point, I will figure something out to boost this up, but we're 58 points behind pace. Trying to get to 423, it's going to be tough. But anyways, the accumulation, is that right? Consolidation, either one probably works. Of those four scores I just read, go to the real score, the countdown to 2023. And the pace right now is 405 points. So you need about 40 points a week. And we're at 428. So we're 23 points ahead of pace. We have a sweat for sure. And this story of sessions has been a long, drawn out, very slow comeback story. And I think that's okay. And I think it could speed up at any time too.
Sessions is brought to you by Poker Rags. Poker Rags, we dress poker players. Sessions is also brought to you by the Hustler Casino in Los Angeles. Lowest rake, best food, and craziest action in town. If you would like to have access to every drop of Sessions, over 700 of them and counting, plus access to my other podcast, Solicited Advice Podcast, and or you want to be a part of the sick as fuck community I'm building, DGAF Community, head on over to patreon.com/DGAF Poker Player and sign up to become a patron today.